Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you take a long, hard look at your life, what is it that you see? How would the world answer this question? How would the Christian respond? How would God respond? Today we'll continue the series we began last time as we take a look at the Christian's life in Christ. We'll try to figure out why I am where I am. Just why is it that God put me here at Emmanuel? You might recall that we referred to a television series called This Is Your Life, where they would bring out these celebrity guests, and then they'd bring in some sort of acquaintance of theirs to tell a story about their life, to paint a picture of their biography. And so this morning we bring in an acquaintance of yours, someone you've known for quite a while, a friend you might call him, a mentor perhaps, a comforter. We bring in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to remind us of that first stage in your true life in Christ, your baptism. The text that serves as the basis for our study is from Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, dear fellow heirs. This letter was written to this man named Titus. It came from the Apostle Paul, and he was instructing him to appoint pastors in all the churches. He says in chapter 2 then, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. We see much the same function of Emmanuel in this epistle. To appoint pastors and teachers, to instruct Christians in the things which are proper for sound teaching. The call of our professors here are the same call as that of Titus in this sense. And then at the close, he says in chapter 3, let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. You are here at Emmanuel for good works. But what does this have to do with baptism? Well, it has everything to do with baptism, because the only reason we can call a good work good is because we've been cleansed of all our sin by the work of Christ. Our text refers to this appearing of the love of God toward man. Appearing of the love of God. We saw this in the flesh. God Himself becoming man to take on the weight of the sins of the whole world. And not only that, to also fulfill everything that's been required in the law of each one of you in your place. So God gives you this package deal in baptism that includes payment for all sin and the credit of all righteousness through the work of Christ, the gift of eternal inheritance. So how many of you remember your baptism? Well, most of us don't, because it was done as infants. And we find in our text here a basis for doing infant baptism when it says that this is not on the basis of works which we have done. Consider an earthly example. What does a baby have to do to be born? Does he have to say, okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready to come out. I'm ready to be a part of this world? Does he have to be convinced, persuaded that it's time to be born? No, all he can really do in the end is serve to complicate the issue. Verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, baptism." What comfort would it really be if you had to look back on your life to that point where you became a Christian, and you had to look to something that you did as the basis for comfort? Some decision you made, your commitment. Would your works ever be good enough? Your decision, would they ever be 100% righteous? Well, we find then in verse 6 that God poured out the Holy Spirit abundantly on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The picture of baptism, the pouring out of the Spirit as that water poured on your head. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit cleansing you from all your sins. And remember the whole basis for our series now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The work that he did on the cross that was given to you at baptism has not changed. It was complete. It was finished. It didn't just pay for past sins. His work, as he declared on the cross, is finished. And you keep on having that Holy Spirit poured out on you every day here at Emmanuel in the Word, being cleansed from your sins. Cleansed to be zealous for good works, to bring forth this fruit in your life of what God has done for you. Let's say you're on a painting crew, and inadvertently you brush up against some wet paint. Pretty soon it's lunchtime, and you proceed to go sit down in your father's recliner. This is the sense of all our works without Christ. Tainted, brushing off on everything we do, tainting everything we do. But we find, based on the work of the Holy Spirit through baptism, that that paint has been washed off. The powerful cleansing power of the Spirit that we can keep on going back to day by day as the faucets are opened wide here at Emmanuel. We know from the Great Commission that we're to go and make disciples of all nations, first by baptizing, then by teaching them all things that Christ has commanded us. And that's the function of Emmanuel here, to continue that instruction of making disciples, to teach what good works are, that they're not necessary for salvation, but they're fruits of the Spirit, fruits of our of Christ's love toward us. Emmanuel, in that sense, is a light on a hill that is a burning torch for each and every one of us to pass on. Each and every one of you have your own torch to light with the gospel and to pass on as you go beyond Emmanuel into the world, to pass on that fire of the gospel into somebody else's life. So taking a look at your life, how would God respond? Well, by the faith that he's put in your heart, in Christ, he's well pleased. This is your life, baptism. Amen. We'll conclude by singing hymn 752, stanza 1.